Welcome to the Monster Club.
An honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans.
Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have Spoilers Ho! I'm Jethel.
And I'm Tuck.
This week, we look back at the 1987 horror classic, The Lost Boys. Starring Jason Patrick, the two Coreys, and Kiefer Sutherland. The two Coreys, of course. This was the beginning of the two Coreys, actually.
Yep, very first.
All right. So,
this was one of the only vampire flicks my dad ever took me to go see.
Really?
As a kid, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because my dad wasn't about horror, you know.
Dad wasn't about horror, and he brought you to one of the most brutal vampire movies of the 80s.
I'm not so sure. I mean, it is oddly bloodless, isn't it?
Except the initiation scene.
Yeah.
At the bottom.
But other than that, I mean, when the vampires get stabbed through, I mean, it's not blood, is it? It's kind of, you know, just slick. But it's not like, you know, scarlet red blood. It's, I don't know. It's a weirdly, I mean, it's not like an R-rated film or anything. It was like PG-13.
No, it was R-rated at the time, actually.
Really?
Which goes to show you the MBAA is a bunch of bastards that are very inconsistent.
That doesn't make sense. Why would it? I haven't
because
seen anything.
Because it was just a little too violent for PG, and PG-13 did not exist then.
Really? Where is, you know, I hate IMDb, and I cannot see what this thing is rated on here.
It's R.
It's just a mess. Oh, yeah, it says R there. See, that's weird, because my dad never would have taken us to see it if it was rated R. Never.
Well, guess what? He did.
That is so... That is bizarre.
I will have to,
because you look at it...
apologize for my grunting and... my allergies, for some reason, are just really bad today. Okay, let's start at the beginning here. We kind of jumped around. Sam, Michael, and their mother moved to Santa Clara, California, fictional city, of course. Murder capital of the world after mom and dad divorce. They go to live with grandpa, who lives just off the beach, who is a weird, wacky kind of guy. Crazy old man.
So you've got the typical teenage drama setup of, you know, parents are split up and now you've got to move somewhere where you didn't want to be. And separated from all the, you know, the school and the friends that you had. Now you gotta make do with some new place, new friends.
Now this is very 80s. This is not, you know, if you made The Lost Boys today, it would be all glittery and, oh, my parents don't understand me. Shit like that. Frickin' Twilight bastards. Be all emo and,
yeah, very angsty.
Well,
yeah.
You know, if you made The Lost Boys today, you would be freaking Twilight.
That's true. That's true. The kids would be older and musclier and...
Right. Now, Lost Boys is actually a resurgence of the vampire lore. Because before this, it was basically Christopher Lee and Vincent Price going around hunting vampires and very traditional, old school vampire stuff before The Lost Boys. When The Lost Boys came around, it was a resurgence of vampire. I mean,
I think
the average teenager is like, oh, what do you think of vampires? Oh, Bela Lugosi and Dracula and blah, blah, blah. But
I think Life Force 2 years before it was a pretty big divergence already.
It wasn't really a vampire movie, though.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it wasn't considered a vampire movie. It was more of a psychic vampire thing that nobody understood and flopped in the movies.
The book it was based on is called what was it, space vampires?
Something like that, but still.
Definitely a vampire film.
You can't look at Life Force and compare it to The Lost Boys and say they're both vampire movies.
Yeah, I can.
Let me look
at both of those, okay? Yep. Hey, Jethel, these are both vampire movies.
No!
See, I did it right there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked Life Force. We went over this when we did the podcast for Life Force. I liked Life Force.
I cannot consider it
a vampire movie.
You can't say that, you know, that Lost Boy is a resurgence of vampire, you know, a modern spin on vampire myth, and then ignore Life Force just because there's no fangs and blood involved.
Okay, Life Force is science fiction.
Mm.
Lost Boys, modern vampire horror.
So
they were space vampires. Okay, we're not talking about Life Force here. We're talking about the Lost Boys. Enough with Life Force. You were just captivated by those boobs.
Well, they were pretty awesome.
And you know what?
They were great vampire boobs.
Here's a good thing.
Got Elvira beneath
those. A horror movie in the 80s revolving around young adults. No tits whatsoever.
Yeah.
There was no nudity in this movie.
It's kind of strange for an R-rated film, isn't it?
It's very strange for an R-rated film. It's very strange for a horror movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
No nudity, very little sexuality at all, really. There's the romance between Star and Michael,
and there is a sex scene, but there's no nudity whatsoever. It's all very, very, you know, suggestively shot. You know, there's no blatant nudity whatsoever.
No,
it has to be because of the focus on the younger cast members, on the story from their point of view. You know, if it had been from, you know, purely from Michael's point of view, that's. You know,
might have been a little different.
Yeah, if it had been super focused on him, and we never left his point of view, and it wasn't about
they very easily could have thrown some nudity into the bonfire scene. You know, kids getting wild, that kind of thing. But no, they didn't do it. And I have to applaud that. That's not why I watched The Lost Boys. It's not for great tits, or I mean, if I wanted to watch a movie with great tits, it'd be Life Force, but.
Mm.
But anyway,
vampire boobies. But yeah, I agree. It is oddly
boobless.
I would say it's very low on the sexuality, you know,
but high on horror and well done.
Well. It's, I don't know, it's, I watched
listen
it.
Listen to me talk, this movie was played a pivotal role in my adolescence. If you poo-poo this movie, I will fly down to Texas and bite you.
I love this movie.
All right, then.
Definitely. Okay. I love the movie, it's definitely ingrained, but it doesn't even approach what I think of as an R-rated film by today's standards, you know?
I think the thing that tipped it into the R rating was the scene where the Frog Brothers and Sam go into the cave and stake.
Yeah,
I don't even think he had a fucking name. What the hell was his name? Marco.
Was it the Ted vampire? The Bill and Ted. You know.
Yeah, the Bill and Ted vampire. Yeah.
I think that
scene, or maybe even the bonfire scene.
And that's what gets me. When they go into the cave and they stab that vampire, there is bodily fluid, but it's not scarlet blood. It's something else.
Well, there was another movie from the, another vampire movie from the 80s that you just can't find anymore. I think I have a copy of it, but God, it's called Pale Blood. Vampires are supposed to bleed. It's more like plasma.
Huh.
More like plasma than it is blood. But yeah, the movie is called Pale Blood. If you could find that, that's actually a very good movie. And if you can find a copy of it, we'll review it.
Hmm.
Got to see if I can find it. For God, I'm not even sure I have it. It was one of those movies that was never released on VHS, outside of VHS.
1990. It says thriller action.
Yep. It's a vampire movie. Okay.
Oh, that's weird.
One of the most iconic vampires in movie history.
I'll easily agree David. With that. Yeah. He's badass, isn't he?
Kiefer Sutherland as David. Oh, my God.
It was a really big breakout role for him, wasn't it? He was pretty much unknown at this point
really
in his career.
Unknown. He was, I would say, obscure. He did very artsy movies, actually.
Yeah. I would say the studio took a big risk on him. You know,
I read that Jim Carrey actually auditioned for that role.
Yeah, I read that. I'm not so sure that I... I'm sure a lot of people auditioned for this role.
I cannot see Jim Carrey, David. No. Not at all.
No.
Originally, the story was supposed to be more Peter Pan. It was supposed to be kids around Laddie's age.
Yeah, all the characters were named to correspond with Peter Pan characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dog's name still strongly corresponds to the dog in Peter Pan.
Right, Nanook, and of course the Peter Pan dog was Nana.
Yeah. But I'm glad they veered off from that.
They veered off from that. I mean, to be perfectly honest, as a fan of horror and a fan of creepy kids, I would like to see that version. But I'm glad they changed it for this movie.
Peter Pan is a vampire. It did strike me as peculiar about how many correlations they made between the Peter Pan story and, well, what if he was a vampire, you know? Visits the kids at night, he can fly, you know, lives, he's young forever, you know? So, yeah. I think it's clever.
Think of Santa,
it just,
you will die, you will die, you will die.
It just goes to show you how you can start off with a really goofball idea.
And make something great.
Yeah, you can just keep spinning it and spinning it and spinning it and you know, and let, you know, whatever doesn't work just fall away and keep on going. That's why I'm never quick to dismiss a film that's based on something. You know, people say, oh, the book was so much better and they changed too much. And yeah, well, you know, that's how movies are made.
Yeah.
You take what something you really love and you
spin. One of the few books where you had a book version and a movie version, one of the few books I've read, actually.
Really? How was the novelization for this?
God, it's been 30 years since I've read it. But
yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah,
A scene in it that they didn't put in the movie where Michael tries to eat normal food and he throws it all up and stuff and starts cramping and shit.
Yeah, there's a few scenes in there that were from the script, obviously, it was based on, because they just gave the author a shooting script and said, here, novelize this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I, more than anything, you know, aside from Kiefer Sutherland's excellent performance in this film, his face was just made to be a vampire, wasn't it? He just looks fucking badass. He looks like a, you know,
with the spike mullet.
What if Billy Idol was a vampire? You know, that's what he looks like in this movie.
Pretty much.
But my absolute most favorite thing about this movie is the music. God.
Soundtrack.
What a soundtrack.
Soundtrack is still in my playlist. I love the Lost Boys soundtrack.
I remember having it. I can't remember if it was on cassette or a CD eventually, but I want to say that I had this soundtrack. And,
I had it in all mediums. I had it on LP, cassette. When I went to CD, I went to CD, and now I have them digitally.
Mm-hmm. I'm just bringing it up on Spotify these days. But yeah, it's fantastic soundtrack. Quintessentially very 80s, you know?
Oh, yes.
It just screams.
NXX and Echo and the Bunnymen.
It's good stuff. So talk to me a little bit about the two... keep in mind I haven't seen these. Talk to me about the straight-to-DVD follow-ups.
Oh, God. The Tribe was just awful. It was like they tried to do a remake,
mm-hmm.
and it just fell so fucking flat. The Tribe was just so bad.
I read something about how Kiefer Sutherland's half-brother was talked into...
Was it his half-brother?
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know. I couldn't care less. The movie sucked so bad. however, The Thirst, not bad.
Does one depend upon the other?
Absolutely not. You could watch The Lost Boys and then Lost Boys The Thirst, and it's just like 20 years later.
Ah, so they
20 years
they,
later, Edgar Frog. The Frog Brothers are still in operation. Boom, Alan Frog, not the Corey, the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Frog, bit by vampire, turned into a vampire.
Oh, no.
And then it all becomes about this girl contacts Edgar Frog, and it's like, my brother's been kidnapped. We need to, they're doing some kind of a sacrifice on the Blood Moon and stuff like that. It just comes a thing about rescuing the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, spoiler alert, the kid is the head vampire.
Oh, nice.
The alpha, the number one. Aptly named Peter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice callback there.
Yep. And they kill him off at the end of the movie. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago. They spritz him with water, and Peter's like, what the fuck? And then Edgar blesses the water as it's coming out of the hose.
I remember you mentioning that, yeah. Ah, nice.
That was an awesome scene. You got to watch that. I'll see if I can find it on YouTube so you can watch at least that scene.
Oh, no, I've got them both lined up and queued up.
Oh, all right.
I just haven't gotten around to watching them, so that'll be interesting.
Watch The Tribe only if you want to see what not to do. I mean, this is just... Oh.
I mean,
the complaint I have against it had no charisma whatsoever. It was just like, this is a vampire movie.
And they were just trying to coast off the fame of the original movie, I guess, without actually putting any effort.
The Tribe will go down in history as being noted as a vampire movie. That's it. Not a good vampire movie, just a vampire movie. The quintessential meh.
So was the in this third movie, The Thirst, The Thirst, you said that the identity of the lead vampire is very much a surprise?
Yes.
How would you compare that level of surprise with the level of surprise that you experienced in the first movie, discovering who's the lead vampire in that movie? Is it as unexpected? Because I got to tell you,
not as unexpected, no. I mean, you think it's Max in the first one, and then they're like, well, nothing seems to be working. It can't be Max. And then, boom, at the end, it's Max. Ah!
Yeah. They pretty convincingly mislead you into thinking that it's not him. You know, I kept waiting for that... I remember as a kid, obviously I knew who it was when I watched it this time. You know, I remember. Right. But I remember as a kid, I kept waiting for that moment when Max was faced with the terrifying reality that there are actual vampires here. Oh my God, oh my God. And I love that moment in movies where the unaware adult who thinks that, something else completely mundane is going on, and then suddenly they're face to face with the supernatural and they cannot deny it.
Yep.
But then to have him go that one step further and be the supernatural thing, the enemy force, the enemy leader, that really.
It really surprised me
as a kid. That was really unexpected when I was a kid. I probably would have seen it coming as an adult, but as a kid, I remember it being very surprising.
It was all going to be so perfect. Your boys and my boys. Great! Just like one giant blood-sucking Brady Bunch.
Was this the first movie you can recall coming out that had the whole, vamping out thing? You know, where vampires had a distinctly different, makeup. Mm. For when they whipped out the fangs.
Yes, I think so. Just a completely different look, where they have a vampire form, quote-unquote.
Very, very demonic when they decide to
go on the hunt. I think this may have been the first one. Let me see something here. Even Near Dark, which came out the same year, didn't have that. You know, they had, all they did was grow fangs, and that was it. But let me see, when was, shit, what's the name of that movie? Damn it. Fright Night. Fright.
The original, or?
The original Fright Night. Oh my God, Fright Night came out 2 years before?
Hmm.
I did not know that.
So it's an 85 movie, okay. Now,
I had no idea that Fright Night came out before that, because I saw it afterward, on VHS.
Hmm.
I did not know that. All right, then. Well, yeah, well, Fright Night had a completely different vamping out type of thing.
Cool, okay. So that must be one of the first places.
By the way, look at that picture of the poster for Fright Night, the original.
Yeah. Yeah, the face
that
over the house.
Was actually supposed to be the Poltergeist poster.
Really?
Yep.
What happened?
You know. They decided it was too much for Poltergeist at the time, but they stole it for Fright Night. Well, not stole it. They got it by permission.
Yeah, repurposed.
Right. And put in long fangs and stuff like that. But yeah, that was supposed to be what the Poltergeist poster was supposed to look like.
Huh. Okay. I think they made the right choice with the kid and the TV with her hand up on the screen. Yes. That's just too good.
All right, let's talk the Frog Brothers.
Hmm.
Edgar and Alan Frog and their whacked out hippie parents. You never actually meet the parents. You see them.
Yeah, they're kind of just leaning up against each other with their hippie glasses on. Just
they're out of it. They're gone.
Completely smoked out. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But yeah, that's supposed to be their parents. But yeah, Edgar and Alan Frog. That was me and my friends, man.
What?
We were very influenced by this movie. I was 15, 16 when this came out.
Uh-huh.
And me and my friends got obsessed with this freaking movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We had a place back in Manchester called Rock Rimmon. It was an 80-foot cliff that overlooks the city. And on certain parts of the rock, you can go there, stomp, and you can hear that it's hollow. So, our little play lore, whatever, came, oh, it's hollow. There are vampires in this in Rock Rimmon.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, we had a little, you know, adolescent fun and stuff like that. You know. Didn't last long, but, you know, it was one of those things, you know. If we were younger, if I was, like, born in the 80s instead of the 70s, we probably would have had our own little vampire club and stuff like that. But but no, we had fun with it. And
do you think if you had found a way inside or something?
Are you kidding me? If we had actually found the cave, that would have been friggin' awesome. But I don't think there was actually an entrance. There was just a hollow spot.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that's what I was growing up in the
70s. Every time I saw this movie, I marveled at the bravery of the Frog Brothers. And yes. And then, you know, Michael's younger brother just going in there and, you know, storming into a vampire lair,
I mean,
with,
yeah,
snakes.
There's
just,
one thing to be a buck.
They're not
friends
whispering or anything. They're just waving their freaking flashlights, yeah, around and saying,
really,
okay,
dedicated.
Be careful. We got to do this. We got to do this. I was like, God damn it, kids. Shut up. They're
going
to hear you.
Shut up.
They're vampires. It doesn't mean they're like really heavy sleepers. You know, it's every time.
But that's teenage adolescence for you. You never think anything bad's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You're going to be the one to, you know, to freaking save the world and shit. You never actually think there are consequences to your actions.
I wonder, though, in the movie, in the universe of the movie.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, the kids were just having fun playing pretend for the camera.
Right.
But in the universe of the movie, do you think that they really thought, the Frog Brothers, I mean, really thought that there were actual vampires in there? Or do you think
they actually got to the cave?
You know, just kind of showing off and being a little bravado-y, you know, just kind of, you know, pumping themselves up to impress the new kid, you know?
I don't know.
I think there's not
maybe
here. Do you think they, the only reason I can think of that they would take him completely seriously would be if they've already slain vampires prior
maybe
to
maybe not slain, but at least witnessed it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe their parents were actually dead, propped up in the corner. Who knows?
Oh, right.
No. Okay. Who knows, though? I mean, they could have been all bravado and stuff like that and shit, and then they get into the caves like, the wheel!
I mean, okay, but they went for it. They went to town. They were just like, okay, I'm going to climb up there and we're going to stake them, you know, and that's it. And they just did it.
This is where they're most vulnerable.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. I don't think they were ever, I mean, geez, this started off a whole thing. They were in Goonies together, right? Were they in Goonies together? I want to say
Feldman
they were.
Was? No, I don't think Corey Haim was. No.
Some other kid.
No, Corey Haim was not in that. Was not in Goonies. Feldman was.
Yeah, it was. Sean Astin.
Yeah.
It was Mikey.
Yep. So it was Edgar Frog and Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why Sean Astin popped up in Corey Feldman's bizarre music video. He's just kind of off to the side, all grown up and everything, and like doing whatever in the background of one of the shots. That was God. Did you see Corey Feldman's performance on the Today Show?
Yeah, it was weird and bizarre, and
that was beyond bizarre. That was just. Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Really embarrassingly weird.
Wow.
Oh, it was just...
You know, if he has his art and he's able to do it, I say go for it. Do whatever makes you happy. But don't get upset when you put yourself out there in this really bizarre performance and people complain and people criticize you. When you put yourself out there, you're bound to get criticized.
If it wasn't for the pseudo Michael Jackson imitation dancing.
Oh God, that was awful.
And the cowl that he was wearing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just seemed like he was still a teenager in his bedroom thinking, yeah, this would be so cool if I could do this in front of an audience.
You know, he should have came out dressed as Edgar Frog. That would have been a hit.
That would have been a hit.
Just call the band Frog Brothers.
Oh man!
And do a version of "Cry, Little Sister."
It's just yeah.
All right.
So I don't begrudge the man, but that was the cringiest thing I've ever seen.
That was weird. That was all right. So Lost Boys, pivotal vampire movie of the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Great cast. Yeah. Are there any drawbacks in this movie? Are there any downsides that you can think of?
I think it had the right mix of scare and humor. I think it played nicely together. It's like, you know, the salty and sweet, you know, of I don't know, caramel popcorn. I don't know. It's just perfect the way it is. It's not, you know, super serious and dark. It's playful and goofy. You know, but not campy. You know,
no, it's definitely not campy.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of humor in it, but not so much. It's not like, you know, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. That was pure camp. You know,
I can't think of any downside in this movie. Maybe I didn't really like Star's performance. Luckily, there wasn't much of it.
Yeah, she was just there to be pursued.
She was eye candy. God, was she in any other movies?
I did find her look to be particularly captivating. Usually in a film like this, they would go, oh, we'll get some super pretty blonde chick. But they took a risk and went for somebody who had sort of a Romanian look to her.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know.
She was the girl in Twister. Do you remember the movie Twister?
You're talking about with the
tornadoes.
Tornadoes? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the ex-wife who was a psychiatrist of some kind.
I don't know. I just remember Jodie Foster, was it?
No, she wasn't in that.
Who was it in Twister then?
See, Twister had...
Who am I thinking of? Not Jodie Foster, the...
Helen Hunt.
Thank you. I always mix those two.
But anyway, she played Bill Paxton's ex-wife, who was a psychiatrist.
Mm.
I did not know that was her.
Mm.
So apparently she has been in other things. Yeah, she's been in quite a few things, actually. Her Internet Movie Database thing's quite long. She even appeared in Different Strokes.
So what was your favorite, last thoughts, what's your favorite scene in The Lost Boys?
Oh, God.
Favorite 30 seconds.
Favorite 30-second scene. Let me think. Do you have one while I'm thinking of one?
Yeah, I do. It's the one where Michael has floated out the freaking window, and he's freaking out, and he's begging his little brother to let him in.
Uh-huh.
And of course, his little brother's freaking out, saying, no.
Oh, you wait till mom finds out.
Yeah, I know. That was great. I love that part so much.
I'd have to say probably the cave scene where the Frog Brothers discover the Lost Boys hanging upside down. I mean, it's a pretty friggin', they're never going to find it. Oh my God, they're on the ceiling!
Right, they keep looking for coffins, and then they look up.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. That was good. That was a good good point in the movie. Pretty freaking terrifying.
All right, so what else can we say about The Lost Boys besides if you haven't seen The Lost Boys, you're wrong. All right. Next time on the Monster Club, we will talk about Troll Hunter.